stand, lift our hands. Let's ask the Lord to help us tonight. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, would you come by and help us? Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord God. God, for your presence, for your help, Lord. God, minister to us tonight in this service. We'll give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' name, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Remain standing and we'll go to the Lord in prayer tonight. I want to remember Sister Erica Rankins. Continue to pray for her that the Lord will continue to touch her and give her help. She really needs the Lord to minister to her. Tomorrow's her birthday, and it'd just be great to see the Lord move for her tomorrow. So let's be praying for Sister Erica. If you haven't got a birthday card yet for her, I'd encourage those at Bethel Chapel to send a birthday card to Brian and Robin Rankins and in care of them for Sister Erica, okay? I think it would be encouraging not only to the family but to Erica when she comes around that she wasn't forgotten on her birthday. None of you like to be forgotten on your birthday, right? None of you do. And so we want to remember her as well. And remember Brother Frost, continue to pray for him. He's not been feeling well today, and he needs the Lord to touch him and give him help today as well. Amen. James Winberry needs our prayers. We need to remember him, that the Lord would touch James Winberry. He needs a miracle. Really does. Somebody else tonight have a need? Yes, Sister Lisa? All right, let's remember Sister Vernon. Sister Lori? Okay. Yes, Brother. All right, let's remember Brother Tracy. Appreciate him being here this weekend. Remember him as he travels home tonight after church. All right, Sister Gardner. Yes, Sister Cindy. All right. Remember Judy. All right. Just remember that. Amen. Anybody else tonight? All right. Amen. Let's pray for our service tonight. And let's remember youth camp this week. Let the Lord help us. Okay? Amen. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we love you, Lord. And God, we thank you, God, for your blessings and for all your goodness to us. God, I thank you, Lord Jesus. God, that you have moved for us once again, Lord. God, I pray, Lord God, that you would move for Erica. God, that you would touch her, Lord Jesus. Lord God, that you would move on her body tonight, Lord, and that you'd give her healing. God, minister to her family, Lord. God, I pray that you touch Tim tonight, Lord. God, I ask, Lord Jesus, God, that you remove her brother Frost, touch his body tonight, Lord. God, that you remove, Lord God, Lord, for James Winberry, touch him tonight, touch Sister Vernon, Lord. God, touch Judy Miller tonight, Lord Jesus, I pray. God, that you'd give her healing and touch her body tonight, Lord. God, I pray, Lord Jesus, God, that you would move for every young person here tonight in this service. God, that you would bless them and that you would help them. But God, move, Lord God, move in our youth camp this week. Let the power of God come down. Let the glory come down and touch us. We pray in the name of Jesus, and we'll give you the glory, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and give him praise tonight. Thank you, Lord. God, that you meet our need, oh Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Lord, we praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, just hold.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. You can be seated if you'd like. Praise God. Brother Jackson, come and help us tonight if you would. Amen. Grab a songbook. Amen. Help Brother Jackson as we just jump in here to have service tonight. All right?
Let's turn to page 558 in the Green Book. Hallelujah. Always look forward to youth camp and family camp. Not just because of what God does for young and old alike, but I like the opportunity that we get to see others that, you know, it's usually the only time of year that we get to see other Christians from other churches and fellowship with friends that we know. And one of these days, though, we're not going to have to worry about that anymore because the Lord's coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Hallelujah. looking forward to that day.
Hallelujah.
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 375.
Oh,
hallelujah.
Lord, thank you, Jesus.
Praise Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. I'll fly away.
Gates are standing open, waiting for.
you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord God, we praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your help tonight, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can be seated if you'd like tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, just a way of announcements. It's youth camp starting tomorrow evening. Tomorrow night, youth camp services will be at 7:30 each night. And I encourage all the Bethel Chapel people to come out to the night services at least, and at least be a part of that. And if you can, come out and get involved in the daytime as well. And I think it's encouraging to come out to youth camp. Makes you, number one, it makes you feel young, and at least for the first few days. By Thursday, you don't feel real young. But it makes you feel young, and it's running around with a bunch of young people, being around young people makes you feel young. They think you're younger. And then you get to see those young people get in and get blessed in the altars. Some of them pray through to the Holy Ghost. Some of them rededicate their lives to the Lord. And it just makes it all special. Makes it all special. And so just if you can, come out to the services. Of course, Wednesday night service will be at the campground. And we're just looking forward to a real move of the Lord during youth camp. And we've been praying that God would just send a fresh wave of His glory, fresh wave of anointing, fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost upon our young people, upon this generation, that God would send an outpouring of His Holy Ghost. Amen. I know, you know, we're Pentecost, and more than just feeling good when we leave here, we need to leave here with the power of the Holy Ghost touching our young people in this generation, right? If they're going to get it, I believe it's going to happen at places like Granite City Youth Camp. So we're excited about it. We're looking forward to a great week. And if you can, come out and help out in any area that you can, and you'll be a blessing to us this week. All right? Amen. Be praying for those that's traveling. There'll be some that's even on the road right now that's already traveling this way. Some I know are leaving after church tonight to drive through the night and get here around noon tomorrow. So they're coming a long way to be here, and I just pray that God would give them a safe journey as they make their way to youth camp this year. Amen. One other announcement for Bethel Chapel: we have a number of our bus children that'll be going to camp this week, and Brother Eric, what's the final total on the bus? Right around 20 of our bus children, 19 or 20. Of them will be going to youth camp this week. And we don't know how long they'll stay, but they're going to be there for Monday afternoon anyway. But some of them probably are not real used to being away from home. But financially, we want to be a help to them, and we'll be a help to them to cover the registration and all. But they also need to eat in the concession stand, and they need to have some spending money for some, you know, they like to get a candy bar every once in a while and a can of soda. And then after church, they want a cheeseburger and, you know, some good stuff like that. So if you can, Bethel Chapel, if you would like to be a help to some of these bus children, and if you'd like to sponsor some of them for their food, man, would you see myself or Brother Eric, and help you with that, help you to do that. And because just sponsor, you know, I don't know how much money it'll take for them for an all week, but I would say it'd take probably at least $20 for one, right at that. That's not too much, but it's about what it would take for them to eat the concession stand, probably $15 to $20. So if you can, you'd like to sponsor some of these young people that's going to camp, help us out with that, all right? Amen. Amen. Now tonight we're going to receive an offering. We always do this Sunday night before youth camp. We receive a special offering for the camp, for the youth camp. And so we're going to receive that offering and the church offering together here tonight. We'll put two offering pans here at the pulpit for the campground, and two offering pans on the outside of the altar
will be for the church. All right? If we'll stand tonight, we'll go ahead and receive the offering. Amen. Brothers, come. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Dear Lord, we thank you, God, for Sunset Hill. Thank you for the youth camp. Thank you, Lord God, that you have met every need. And God, that you've provided and that you've just worked miracles for the campground and for Sunset Hill over the years. And God, I know, Lord God, it's your work. And we ask you, Lord God, that you would meet every need. And God, that you'd provide. I pray that you'd bless during this camp, God, and that you would send an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Bless Bethel Chapel and bless the church. Bless those that give in this offering tonight, I pray. And we'll give you the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Those pans at the pulpit right here, these two pans will be for the campground. The ones on the outside are for the church tonight. Let's be a blessing, all right?
For saving me.
Oh, the body on a dancing bar. Poor God.
job. Amen. I love to hear those kids sing. Praise the Lord. Amen. They get a little older. Amen. Just need more of them around here. Hallelujah. Sister Kelly and Brother Eric and Don and Heather, they brought two new ones to us. Amen. Tyler, Kensington. Man, they are beautiful too, aren't they? They are beautiful. Amen. And those grandparents said amen, right? Those great-grandparents said amen, right? Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Chris, good to have you and your family with us. Appreciate you coming and being here tonight. We want Andy to come and sing tonight. Amen. Why don't you testify, Brother Chris, while she's coming, all right?
So many times I question certain circumstances, things I could not understand. Many times in trials, when weakness blurs my vision, and my frustrations get so out of hand. It's then when I'm reminded I've never been forsaken. I've never had to stand the test alone. But when I look at all the victories, a spirit rises up in me. It's through the fire my weakness is made strong. He never promised that the cross would not be heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. And he never offered a victory without fighting. He said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up and He will take you through the fire again. I know within myself that I would surely perish, but if I trust the hand of God, He'll shield the flames again, again. He never promised that the cross would not be heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered a victory without fighting. He said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says it's testing. Just hold on. Our Lord, He'll show up and He will take you through the fire again. He never promised that the cross would not be heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered a victory without fighting. He said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says give in, just hold on. Our Lord, He'll show up and He will take you through the fire again. Just hold on. Our Lord will show up and He will take you through the fire again.
Brother Gallagher here. Amen. Let's have all the young people.
Yeah,
all the young people. Sister Ruth's going to pick a song out that all of you know. Amen. This is... This is your week, young people, so we want you to come, all the young people.
Brother Gallagher's for Christmas one year for a service.
Let's do
Brother Gallagher got up and says, "We want everybody in the church to come and sing."
So everybody came up to the platform. Brother Gallagher sat out in the church, and we all sang to Brother Gallagher. We won't quite do it that much tonight, but man, some of you, come on, Kristen, bring those young people up here. All right, amen. We're gonna put the boys on the left.
My life, and I'm so thankful that no matter where I go, no matter what I do, God's always going to be there for me, and He'll take us through the fire all the time.
Thank you.
Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all of the glory. About the Lord, help me sing it. How He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, you see, He picked me up, turned me around, placed my feet on solid ground. You see, it makes me want to shout, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Lift your hands and give the Lord praise as Brother Tim comes tonight. Amen. To preach to us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I believe that the waters are troubled around here tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. When the waters are troubled, there's just one thing to do. That's just step right on in. Amen. Let the Lord help you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes we wait on this for a long time. I've been places for a week and a half, and never had the waters troubled. But oh, when the waters are troubled, we need to move. Amen. Move with the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I appreciate the good spirit of the Lord that is here right now. And if you have a need in your heart, your life, this is a prime opportunity right now to reach out and get a hold of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's a premium on the Holy Ghost, I can tell you that. Amen. We ought to thank God for that spirit that we can feel here tonight in the midst. Amen. I believe that God desires to do great things for us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I feel Him right here. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. We're glad to be with y'all tonight here at church. Granite City, ready for youth camp this year. Good group of young people here in the service with us tonight. And just a great group of young people. 23 were on the platform a while ago. And there's several scattered throughout the congregation that weren't singing in the choir. And so we've got a great group of young people right here tonight. Amen. Thank God for that. And I'm glad to feel the Spirit of the Lord and seeing them involved in the service and singing and letting God touch their heart. And that's a good way to start off for youth camp. Hallelujah. Just letting God get in your heart right now. Get a good taste of that Holy Ghost in your life. And you can go tomorrow night to youth camp hungry, hallelujah, for more of God. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be here with y'all. We appreciate the opportunity to preach to you tonight. We trust that the Lord will just have His way in the rest of the service tonight. And I've been out to the campground. It looks great. I know y'all have been working hard there. And many hours have been put in. And many wives have been angry with many husbands about how many hours have been put in there. And I can guarantee that. Amen. But it's worth it. It is worth it. And it looks great out there. And I want to encourage you to just keep laboring for the Lord and let God give you a reward for how lives will be touched this week at youth camp. Hallelujah. I want us to go to 2 Kings chapter 4. Sister Barb, I didn't say anything to you about testifying, but you might as well testify while we're here and say something good for the Lord. While they're turning to 2 Kings chapter 4, you just go ahead and stand and testify. Say something good for God tonight. God. Hallelujah. Well, I don't believe that we have to have a scarred life. And we can be like Jacob. Remember, Jacob was at that place, Bethel. And he awoke the next morning and he said, "Surely the Lord was in this place and I knew it not." I believe there are a lot of times that God comes in the house and we just don't realize it. We're unawares. But I'd like to perceive that He is here tonight with us. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter number 4. I'm going to start reading in verse number 1. And we're going to go through verse number 7. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse number 1. Continuing through verse number 7. Hallelujah. If you have that, say amen. The Bible said, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him, and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. I want you to notice verse number 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Notice that. The creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. I want to preach to you for a little while this evening, if the Holy Ghost would help me, on this thought: children at risk. Children at risk. The creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity and the privilege of being in the house of the Lord. Thank you for the Spirit of God that we felt roll through this place just a few moments ago. I pray that that same anointing would rest upon the preaching of the Word. I pray that the Holy Ghost would touch young men, older men, middle-aged men, all of us, from the youngest to the very oldest. I pray that the Spirit of God would deal with us, speak to us. I pray, Lord, that you would move around the altars with that sweet Spirit of God. I pray tonight, if somebody needs the Holy Ghost, that you would baptize them. And I'll give you glory and praise and honor. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen and amen. Children at risk. Just let me give you a little bit of background here. The story is about a woman that is calling out to the prophet. Her husband has died. Notice, first of all, the death of the husband. Apparently it was an unexpected death, for he had not planned for it. He had not taken opportunity to prepare things financially for a death. And so this death was most likely unexpected because it was also unplanned for. He had not taken the opportunity to set up the way of paying that debt that he had incurred in his life. So there was a debt that was left behind. Let me encourage you to wisdom when it comes to debt. You must realize that you should not get yourself in debt to the point that you are over your head. I know that that is a hard thing for this generation to understand, but we must realize that debt can injure us. Debt can hurt us. And so there is here a little bit of wisdom that was needed, but it was not shown. It was not practiced in his life. And so now we find this woman. We do not know her age, but apparently she was a younger woman. She has sons that are still at home, raising them, trying to train them up. And now she is left in a desperate situation. She has a struggle on her hands. How am I going to pay the debt that I owe? My husband is gone. The profit making one is gone. And now I am left alone. I'm in a struggle now. And then she said, my children, my sons are at stake. Amen. Her children were at risk. The creditor was at the door threatening to take them. And she felt overwhelmed by her situation. She felt like her problem was greater than she could handle. She felt like it was out of her control and she could do nothing for it. That is the situation this woman is in. I want to show you, first of all, tonight, the payment that the creditor finally seeks. Amen. The payment the creditor finally seeks. There was a debt that was left upon this woman, and it could not be paid. It must be paid. The payment was due. It was time to pay the debt off, but yet she had no opportunity to do it. I believe that she had sold everything that she had. I believe that she had gone through the house and sold every piece of furniture. She had sold everything that she could sell. The reason I say that is this. When the prophet said, "What hast thou in the house?" she said, "I have not anything left in the house but a pot of oil. That's all I have." I believe this woman had done all that she could. Every piece of furniture was sold to the highest bidder. Everything was given out, parceled out. Everything was gone. She had done all she could. And now she says, "How am I going to pay the debt?" Hey, the creditor had an idea. He said, "You can't pay me the debt in cash. You can't pay me in silver or gold. But I'll take your sons. I'll take your children. And I'll make them my slaves. And they will work for me and labor for me. And they will pay the debt by their slavery." Oh, my God, help me here tonight. Amen. They could have served for a period of 7 years. You see, in the Israel law, they had a period of 7 years, and then that seventh year was the year of Sabbath. On the Sabbath year, everybody was released that was in a slavery situation like these boys would be in. Every 50th year was the year of Jubilee, and on that 50th year, once again, they would all be released. So these boys were being sold as slaves for a period of 7 years. They would be in their slavery, being tortured, being worked, being hard, treated hard, being misused and abused. And she looked at the situation and she said, "I don't want to lose my children. I don't want to lose my kids." She knew immediately what was at risk. I'm about to lose the next generation. I'm about to lose my boys. I'm about to lose these precious children that I've invested in, that I prayed over, that we have raised right. Amen. Notice her husband. Husband was a man of God. We've raised these boys right, and now they're about to be taken and made slaves. I don't want to lose my children. Can I tell you tonight, friend, that we have a generation that is coming up right now, and they are at risk. The creditor of hell, the devil himself, is standing at our house's doors. He is standing at our church door, and he's saying, "If you cannot pay the price, if you cannot pay the debt, I will take your children." Amen. The payment is being sought. The creditor is ready to take our kids. You say, "Brother Brim, we're not going to lose ours. Brother Brim, we're not going to let ours go." But friend, if you get in debt to the devil, he will come in and he will take your children. Hallelujah. I've got to take this off. It's broke. It looks funny. Everybody look at it, but it's making me nervous. I got to get rid of it. Amen. All right. Back to preaching now, all right? Hallelujah. The creditor is at the door. He is seeking our children. He is after our generation. I can take you to areas of the country that we preach in. I can take you and sit you down in the church. And in that church, in that entire fellowship, there is an entire generation that has been gone. You can go not to one or two or three churches, but you can go to eight or ten churches in that fellowship. fellowship, and the entire generation of my age is gone. They have nobody in their 30s in their churches. They have very few in their 40s in their churches. What happened, friend? Amen. They allowed compromise to come in. They allowed coldness to settle in. And one day the creditor came and knocked on the door and said, it's time to pay the debt. And they couldn't pay the debt. And so the creditor said, I'll take your kids. And they lost their children to the devil. Hey, friend, I'm telling you tonight that the payment is due tonight. Amen. The creditor is at the door. And he's saying, I'll take your children. I will take your young ones. Amen. There is a generation tonight that is at risk. It seems like sometimes I can hear the knuckles knocking on the door. And the devil saying, I'm going to take them. I'm going to get them. You can run. You can hide. You can put them under the pew. You can try to pray them through now. But you've already played the part. And now you've got to pay the debt. Amen. I'm afraid, friend, that the creditor is after our children. Help me, Holy Ghost. He desires to destroy our kids. As I began to study for this message, amen, I began to look at young people, study some things out. Listen to what Reader's Digest said. Amen. This is an article. It said a judge has ruled that a 15-year-old boy who was barred from school for wearing girls' clothes. Yeah, a boy wearing girls' clothes. He can go back to school. The judge said he had a gender identity disorder. I said he was a wacko. That's what I said. He's mixed up and messed up. And he needs to get to the altar and get saved and get delivered. Amen. But they said, you are stifling his selfhood by not letting him show what he really is. He's really a boy. Amen. Act like it. Walk like it. Talk like it. Be a boy. Praise God. Amen. I don't want any boys that are going to act like girls. We don't need any girls to act like boys. Amen. But when I thought about this and read this, it let me realize that the devil is after that generation. Amen. There is a devil that is after our young people. And I'm not willing to give them up. I'm not willing to let them go. I'm not willing to throw them out to the door and let the creditor take them. He is there saying, you've got to pay the debt. It's time for something to be done. But I'm not willing to give my kids up in order to pay the debt to the devil. Hallelujah. Every day in America, listen to this. Every day in America, 1,000 unwed teenage girls have babies. Over 1,100 teenage girls have abortions. 3,600 teenagers are assaulted. This one's what got my attention. Six commit suicide every day. Teenagers. Right at what should be the best time of your life. Right when you should be enjoying the best days of your life. And now you're so depressed, so discouraged, so downtrodden that you think there's nothing worth living for. I'm telling you, church, listen to me. The devil is after our kids. He is after them. He's trying to get a hold of them. He's trying to destroy them. He is trying to get their lives and ruin them. I found a statistic that was taken of it was a poll that was taken of young people at church youth groups. Listen to what it said. They found out that 28% are involved in pornography. They said that 5% of our church kids had attempted suicide. They said that 69% were being immoral with each other. Friend, listen. That is our church kids right there. You say, Brother Brim, I'm taking them to church. I'm doing all I can. Amen. There's got to be more than just raising them on the pew. You have got to get them in the presence of God and let God change their life. Amen. It's even affecting our church young people. The devil doesn't care if he steals them out of the pew. He doesn't care if he steals them out of the high school. He doesn't care if he steals them from the drug addict. He doesn't care if he steals them from the deacon. He just wants to steal them. The creditor is at the door and he's seeking our children. What's he going to do with them? He's going to take them out and he's going to make them slaves. Hey, friend, I don't want
want you to be lost in slavery. I don't want you to be so bound by the tricks of the devil that you have no liberty in your life. You have no enjoyment or pleasure in life. He will make you a slave to hell.
Hallelujah. Samson in the Bible. Samson was a miracle child. You understand that? His mom and dad were not able to have children. And God worked a miracle and gave them a child. But when God gave him this child, they offered him to the Lord. Made a vow. Gave him back to God. Samson knew what it was to be anointed. To feel the Holy Ghost. It moved on him oftentimes. It's what the Bible said. And he would do mighty works because he was anointed of the Holy Ghost. But there came a time in his life. You read the story and see if I'm not telling you the truth. He became attracted by worldly things. Girls of the world. Ideas of the world. Even places of the world. And he came to his parents and he said, "Hey, I want to marry a worldly girl." His parents said, "No, that's not the will of God." But he rebelled against his parents. Here is a young man that has been anointed. He was given by God. He was anointed by God. The Holy Ghost moved on him oftentimes. But now because he has had a worldly heart, he is going after a worldly girl. He is going after worldly pleasures. And before you know it, he winds up. He is captured by the Philistines. His eyes are gouged out. He is blind. He is bound up. Amen. He is now at the grist mill working as a slave. He is in the dungeon. Brother Chris, that's what the devil desires to do to our young people. He desires to blind their life. He desires to bind their life. And he desires to put them at the grist mill grinding for the rest of their life. That's what the devil desires to do. Hey, young man, are you going to be a slave? Hey, young woman, are you going to go out and be a slave to the devil? Be bound by the pleasures of sin. Amen. The pleasures of sin only last for a season. And after that it is misery. After that it is mayhem. After that it is trouble. Amen. Will you go and walk away from the Spirit of God and be a slave to the devil? Help me, Holy Ghost. We were preaching in Arkansas here recently. We had a good revival. The Lord blessed. Sinners were coming, getting saved. In that revival, I believe we had 10 sinners that prayed to get saved. Hey, man. One of those boys, two of those boys, brothers, came in and got saved. They were so bound by drugs, alcohol, meth, just messed up, addicted. They prayed so good in that revival. I began to question the pastor about them. What's their situation? They're just young boys in their early 20s, and they're so bound and addicted. He said that guy, those two boys, their mother, said their mother raised them up and she was an addict. Said she would party, have drugs, have so many men in the house partying, drugs, alcohol, mixing it all up, everything you want. And in order to keep those children subdued during her partying binges, she would give the drugs and the alcohol to her kids. And Brother Adair, when they were just little boys, they knew what it was to be high and drunk and be lost out of their mind for days on end. And now they're fighting that in their early 20s. Even their mother was giving them over to the creditor as aim it for her life. I'm going to live this way and I'll pay the debt by giving my children to you. Friend, I want to just go on the record and tell you there is no young person, amen, that is so invaluable, amen, that is so worthless that we should give them to the devil. I say every young person is worth it. I say every child is worth it. I say every one of them have a value, and we need to keep their soul from the devil. We need to keep them from hell. Hey, I'm not willing to give up one more kid. I'm not willing to have one more tragedy. I'm not willing to let one more young person go as a payment to the devil. I say, hey, creditor, it's time for you to get away from the door and go on somewhere else, because we're not willing to give up our kids. Hallelujah. The payment the creditor seeks. But notice something else here. Notice this. not only the payment the creditor finally seeks, but there are parents that can't find the solution. Here is a little widow woman left all alone. She's done all she can do. She's tried everything possible. And she still is not able to save her kids. They're still about to be taken away by the creditor. No matter what she tried, there's no solution. The creditor finally gives a deadline. She works feverishly, but still no solution. But this woman in our text tonight is not alone. For there are many in the Bible that were parents that could not find a solution for their children's problems. We go all the way back to Genesis chapter 16. Hagar has her little baby Ishmael. She has been kicked out of the house of Abraham. She is wandering in the desert. Finally, she realizes we're dying. And the Bible said she took her little boy and threw him down under a tree and walked off and was ready to die. She said, there's nothing I can do. There is no solution. In Mark chapter 9, there is a man that brings his son to Jesus. This son is devil possessed. The devil would throw him in the fire and throw him in the water and try to burn him and drown him. The devil would tear at him and he would foam at the mouth and gnash his teeth. And he was pining away and dying. That's what the Bible said. This man had done all that he could, but yet he had no solution. In our story here in 2 Kings chapter 4, here's a woman that's about to lose her kids. She's done all she can do, and she has no answer. I want you to realize, friend, that we have parents even among us tonight that have tried to do everything they can. Maybe you're sitting here in the house tonight, and you say, preacher, I've tried to teach them right. I've tried to get them in church. I've tried to witness to them. I've tried to tell them they're doing wrong. I've tried everything I can find, and I just don't have the answer. Amen. Maybe you're feeling it at your church, and you're saying, Brother Brim, we've done all we can for the young people. We have pizza parties. We have ball games. We have sleepovers. We have lock-ins. We have youth retreats. We've done all we can do, and we just cannot find the answer. We cannot find the solution. Let me tell you, friend, any worldly effort will not work. Amen. They can go to the world and get the world. They don't want to find the world in the church. They're not looking for a ball team. They're not looking for a pizza party. They're looking for somebody that's got an answer to their problem. Somebody that can tell them where hope is. Somebody that can give them some help. They're looking for a solution. Hey, are you here, Mom and Dad? And you're frustrated because you've tried to get your kids in and you can't. Are you here, Mom and Dad? And you've tried to pray them through, but you can't. Are you here, church member? And you're so frustrated. We've done everything we know to do for kids, and we just can't get them. I recently saw two books in a bookstore. Hey, man. One of them was written by Jim Baker's son. You remember Jim Baker? What was that place called? Heritage USA or something like that. North Carolina. His boy had wrote a book. And when I began to read it, he told in that book, I read it right in the bookstore, just standing there waiting on my wife probably. And most likely. And I began to read that book. And that boy told of how his parents gave him everything the world could offer. You remember they were charged with the money issues. Money was no problem. So they bought this boy everything he ever wanted. They gave him everything the world could offer. Now he's in his 20s, and his picture was there. Earrings and whatever they call it, earring that's in your eye and earrings that's in your tongue and your lips, and I mean just all over his head, and tattoos all over him. And when I read that, I realized that doesn't work. Giving the kids the world doesn't work. I was frustrated. I slid that book back on the shelf and I walked down a little bit further. I come across another book, and it was written by James Dobson's son, Ryan Dobson. And he began to tell about his struggle and how he was such a surfer out in California and how his marriage fell apart and he was trying to be in the ministry and he was struggling with his own struggles and marriage and morality and trying to work for the Lord. And I realized psychology doesn't help. The answer's not there. The answer is not in the world. The answer is not in the psycho mind. It's not in sitting down with Benjamin Spock's book and reading about how to raise your kids. It's not in all the psychology and the psychiatrists. It's not all in all that mind junk. It's not the worldly way. Amen. That is not the answer. We can give the kids of this generation all the world. But when we do that, do you know what we're doing? We're feeding a desire in their fleshly nature. And they're going to turn and go after the world. That's not going to draw them to God. Let me tell you, friend, what they need is a mom and a dad that's going to give them an example of how to be a holy man or woman of God. Amen. The Bible said in the New Testament that the older women are to teach the younger. Amen. The older men are to teach the younger. That's the way we're going to keep them. We're not going to feed their desires of the flesh and keep them in church. But we're going to have some men and women of God that will stand up and be an example. And will begin to lead them and show them and teach them and train them. Amen. I don't want to lose our kids. Amen. I don't want to lose this generation. They are so crucial to the holiness movement. We cannot afford to lose them. We must keep them in the house of God. Help me, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How do we train them? Well, first of all, we've got to train them by our life. That's right. Amen. Your children, now listen to me. I've raised a lot of good kids, as you can tell. Amen. I had somebody say, oh, you can't say anything about children. You don't have any children. Well, I was a child. And I read the Bible. And the one that taught about children the most was Paul. And Paul didn't have any children. Praise God. So I felt a little better about it. And I just went on and preached about it. Hallelujah. Amen. You've got to teach your children by your life. Amen. The general rule is this. Your kids are going to turn out like you. That's right. Your kids are going to turn out like you. I hate to tell you this because all three of us Brim boys are here. Amen. But all three of us Brim boys are just like either George or Arlene, or we are a mixture of the two. And I'll let you figure out who's George. I'll let you figure out who's Arlene. And I'll let you figure out who's a mixture of the two. Amen. But I want you to realize you're going to turn out like your parents. Amen. So mom and dad, if you want your kids to be faithful to church, you got to be faithful to church. If you want them to live a holiness life, you got to live a holiness life. If you want, I'm going to turn around this way. If you want them to be a gossip, then you got to be a gossip yourself. If you want them to lay out of church, you got to lay out of church yourself. However you want them to be, that's what you're going to raise them up like. Amen. Oh, let's give them a life that they can pattern after. Amen. Let's give them a life they can follow and say, I want to be like my dad because he's just like Jesus. I want to be like my mom because she's just like Jesus. Raise them up by your life. That's the solution. Not only by your life, but also with your lip. You got to tell them. You got to tell them. Hey, man. Let me tell you, my dad had no trouble telling us. And telling yours too. In the youth service. Didn't scare him a bit. He'd tell him. Hey, man. But you know what? I can tell you honestly, when I was a kid, I did not appreciate it. I didn't. Hey, man. I didn't appreciate it. I'd just soon him let me have my flat top that I wanted to have, and he said I couldn't have it no more. I thought, well, that's kind of silly. I really didn't. No problem with your flat top, buddy. I don't care if you got one. Amen. But, you know, I couldn't understand all that. But now that I've come a little farther down the road, I can look back and I can realize what he was doing. He was trying to train me in the right way to go. And isn't that what the Bible said? Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it.
You say, oh, Brother Brim, is that a promise that they'll never get away if I train them what's right? Oh, they still have their own will. They can still do what they want to do. And even if they walk away, they'll never get away from it, because it'll always ring in their head. It'll always sound in their heart. And hopefully one day, Brother Chris, God will awaken them back up. And like the prodigal son, they'll come to themselves and they'll come back home to the Father's house. Hey, train them by your life and train them by your lips. Amen. Tell them how to live. Tell them how to walk. Tell them how to talk. Tell them how to dress. Tell them how to live. Amen. Train them up. That is the solution. Is a parent that loves them, that will tell them the right way to go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The payment the creditor finally seeks, the parents can't find the solution. But notice thirdly, there's a preacher that calls for the supply. When she got these boys to the man of God, this man of God had the answer. And the supply only came as she submitted and obeyed. He said, go get vessels and bring them in. Then shut the door and pour it out. Amen. And when she began to pour, that Holy Ghost oil began to flow. Amen. That oil began to move through. Amen. The supply was supernatural. Man could not supply it, but God did. Hallelujah. Can I just preach to you here for a minute? Amen. The ministry is so important. Amen. The ministry is so important. Here is a man of God that comes in and he's presented with the situation. And all of a sudden God begins to talk through that man. Hallelujah. Amen. And God met the need of these children. And God saved that family through talking by the man of God. Oh, some people act like that their preacher is an option. Amen. They don't have to listen to him if they don't want to. If he preaches something across the pulpit and you don't like the way it hits you, then you go home and tell the kids. Amen. That old preacher's a fuddy-duddy. You don't have to live like he said. You don't have to dress that way. You don't have to do that holiness life. Amen. I want to tell you what you're going to do. You're going to lose your children. Amen. You're throwing them out the door to the creditor. You're giving them over to hell is what you're doing. There are some people that treat the preacher with disrespect. That is so dangerous. You say, Brother Brim, he's just a man like I am. I understand that. But when God calls a man and when God anoints a man, he's not just a common man anymore, but he becomes God's man. And he said, touch not mine anointed. If you treat him with disrespect, you'll lose your kids. If you disregard the message, you will lose your kids. If you disdain their life, you will lose your children. You say, Brother Brim, can you prove it? I can show you a generation that walked out of God's house, even because they heard that you don't have to follow the preaching of the Word of God. I say the man of God's important. I say the preacher's important. I say stay with the man of God that'll preach the truth of the Word of the Lord. If you disrespect and disdain that man of God, let me just illustrate it like this. If the preacher does something, I wasn't planning on preaching all this. If the preacher does something, and you go to the house, and you sit down at the table, or you do it in the car on the way home, and you say that preacher, do you know what you're doing? You're putting disrespect in the hearts and the minds of your children. And when that child gets in trouble in life and the preacher goes to talk to him, they'll never listen to him because they have no respect for the preacher. And then you'll come and knock on the preacher's door, or you'll call his cell phone while he's on the Longmore campground, and you'll say, Brother Brim, would you pray for so-and-so? They're so far from God. And the fact of the matter is, you've pushed them so far from God.
lose our own kids because we put disrespect for the ministry. Do we realize how important a preacher is? The Bible said, how will they hear unless there's somebody sent? How will they be saved unless there's a preacher that's called of God and sent? Do you realize none of us would be saved if somebody hadn't given us the gospel? And when we cut that link off to where they don't respect the ministry, we lose our kids. If this woman would have said, that's the dumbest idea I've ever heard in my life, she would have lost her kids. That preacher comes up with some of the dumbest stuff he wants to preach to us. I'll just tell you right now, we ain't doing that around our house. You're going to lose your kids. But when the man of God said, this is what I want you to do. Go in all the town, get all the empty vessels you can, bring them in your house. Now, you just go ahead and tell me. That sounds pretty dumb, doesn't it? I don't need vessels, preacher. I need oil. I need money. Cash. Come on, Bubba. I need money. But she did not act like that. She said, yes, sir. Go get all and bring them all in your house. And then when you get all of them, I want you to take your little vessel of oil. Y'all pray for the sick around here? Oh, yeah. Amen. And I want you to take that little bottle of oil, and I want you to fill all them vessels up that you just collected. She could have said, preacher, you're crazy. Little bottle of oil, 150 empty vessels, and you want me to fill them all up with this? She didn't say that. She said, yes, sir. She got her kids in, shut the door, picked up that bottle, and said, God's going to do something for us, kids. And she began to pour it out. Hallelujah. Amen. And God began to work. And God began to move. And God began to work miracles. And God began to show her, I care, I understand, and I'm involved in your life. And God began to show her kids that God loves me, and God understands where I'm at, and God wants me to stay in the house, and God don't want me to be a slave. Amen. It showed her and it showed the kids. Amen. God's involved. And God will do whatever it takes to work for my life. I said, when you honor the man of God and you obey the word of God and you honor the preacher, amen, God's going to work it out. Amen. God will save your kids. God will bring them in. God will work miracles. God will send a move from heaven in order to save your kids. Hallelujah. Do you remember Hagar I told you about? She threw the baby under the tree. Said, we're going to die. But God saw it. And God said, I'm going to raise a well up in the desert. And he met that woman's need and saved her and saved the kids. If you can get God involved, God can save you. And God can save your kids. And God can save your marriage. And God can save your work. And God can save your house. Do you remember that father of the demon-possessed boy? Amen. See, he got him to Jesus. And Jesus took care of it. There in our Bible story, this woman got God's opinion. And it saved her kids. I want you to know God's wanting to save this generation. God's wanting to move for this generation. Hey, young people, hear the preacher tonight. God cares about your generation. You're important to Him. He wants to show you miracles. He wants to show you a move of God. He wants to show you revival in your generation. He cares about you. Shut yourself in with God. Amen. Obey Him and let God work for your generation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The payment the creditor finally seeks. The parent can't find the solution. The preacher calls for a supply. One more. That poor comes from a supernatural source. Listen to me now. All that oil was not in the vessel. I can picture this woman. She fills one vessel up, sets it aside. She looks in the bottle. There's still oil, boys. Bring me another one. She pours it in. Fills it up. It's still the same place. Hadn't gone down a bit. Bring me another one. Fills it up. Wow. This is a miracle, boys. Are you seeing this? It's still at the same. It hadn't got any lower or higher. God's just keeping it constant. Hallelujah. God was doing a supernatural pouring out of oil. Hallelujah. And the oil was her solution. Can I tell you tonight, in the Bible, oil is a picture or a type of the Holy Ghost. And the oil was her solution. Can I tell you what the solution is? If we're about to lose our kids, the oil is the answer. The Holy Ghost is the answer. What's going to save the next generation? What's going to save this group of young people that was up here on the platform and that was sitting through the congregation tonight? I'll tell you what's going to save them. It's another outpouring of the oil of the Holy Ghost. The oil God supplied kept her from losing her kids. And if God's going to give us an oil outpouring on us, it's going to save our kids. The only thing that will keep us from losing our children is the outpouring of the Spirit. Hey, if we want to spare our children, if we want to spare our generation from being slaves to the creditor and being marched away behind the Pied Piper, we've got to have the oil of the Holy Ghost. I say get them in the service. I say get them in the altar. I say get them full of the Holy Ghost. Get them full of the Bible. Get them prayed through. Get them on the rock, and we'll save the next generation. That's how we're going to save our kids. It's get a moving of the Holy Ghost.
I love it. I love it when I come home to Granite City and I sit right here where I always sit, and those kids get up and sing and I watch them. Hey, man, I love that, Brother Dennis. I love it. Old Brother Logan gets the shouting. I love it. Old little Bill Carter gets that old guitar going. I love that. Hey, man, I do. Hey, I'm serious. Those Dykeman kids get their hands in the air. I'm telling you, I love that stuff. Hey, man, I'll tell you why. If you can get them in the house of God and get them involved. Hey, man, you say, oh, Brother Brim, they're faking. They got one eye open when they're praising God. And they're shouting around watching us the whole time. I understand that. But there's going to be one time that when they get to moving around, all of a sudden the Holy Ghost is going to touch them. And it's going to make a difference in their life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we pastored in South Carolina, oh, man, what a trip. Hey, man, but when we pastored in South Carolina, hey, man, we had a man and a woman get saved about our age. And that daddy, he was still holding back. He was dipping, smoking, doing things on the side. Well, that mama, she was going wholehearted after God. They had a little boy by the name of Bryce. We started letting that girl, that sister, clean the church. Her husband had come and help. One day I walked out of my office and Bryce was walking down the hall behind her, his daddy. His daddy was carrying a trash bag. Bryce had a little plastic Coke bottle. He was walking along and he was spitting in it like he was spitting snuff. I said, Bryce, what are you doing? He said, I'm doing what my daddy does. That daddy broke down. He said, son, I used to do that. But I quit. I ain't going to do that no more. Wasn't too much longer. That dad was over in the corner one night shouting, kicking the drums all over the place. Brother Rob got full of the Holy Ghost. Hey, man. You know what? Before we left South Carolina, little Bryce was wearing a white shirt and a tie. I want to be like Daddy and Brother Brim. I'm going to be a preacher one day. Hey, man, they'd come down the altar and Brother David would have his hands up and tears flowing down his face. And Bryce would be right beside him, hands up, tears flowing down his face. Hey, I want to tell you something. The oil is what's going to save our kids. Hey, man, you can't take them away. Hey, man, you can't have them, creditor. Why? We've got them in the oil. And if they're in the oil, the devil can't get in. And he can't get them. I say get them in the oil. I say get them in the Holy Ghost. I say get them in the altar. I say get them involved in a service. I say have youth camp. And let them shout and dance under the power and influence of God. I say get in on a Sunday night. And mom and dad, let's show them how to be Pentecostal and how to have a move of God.
closing right here. There was a family that had a farm. They were going bankrupt. Finally, that man was in town one day. He was losing everything. And a man came up to him and said, "Sir, I'm an oil man. And I have reason to believe that there's oil under your property. And I'd like to buy your property so I can mine that oil." That guy, he said, "No way. If there's oil under my property, I'm going to mine the oil." He went to the bank. He borrowed against all his good credit that he had left. He took that stuff, that oil drilling equipment out on his property, set it up, drilled the oil well. Dry, nothing. He moved over a few feet, and he drilled again. Dry, no oil. He drilled all over that property. Had holes everywhere. No oil. He would lose all the money invested. Then he would go right back and borrow more. And he was so overwhelmed. He said, "Finally, honey, we've got to give up. I've tried and I can't find the oil." She said, "Honey, go back and try one more time." He took that oil drilling rig, pulled it out in the farthest corner of his field, set it up, and began to drill. He said he got down so far, I can't remember, got down to a certain depth, and all of a sudden, poof, there came the gusher. Hallelujah. He said he stood there next to that oil rig, and that oil shot up in the air and came down and just covered him all over. Hallelujah. He said he pulled off his hard hat and held it under the gusher of the oil and filled his hard hat up with oil, and he came running back to the house. He ran all the way back to the house. When he got there, he realized, "I can't open the door. I'm covered with oil." So he just kicked on the door, and his wife came and opened it up. He took that hat and put it on his head, and that fresh oil just ran down all over him. He said, "Honey, honey, honey, honey." She said, "You don't have to say a thing. I can see the oil all over you." Hey, friend, I want you to realize what we need to do tonight is we need to drill one more time. Amen. Maybe you feel like you're about to lose your kids. Maybe you feel like you're about to lose the next generation. I say drill one more time on a Sunday night, and maybe we'll hit a gusher and we'll get the oil all over us. And when you get the oil all over you, you can't hide it. Amen. They'll see it everywhere you go. They'll see it when you go to work. They'll see it when you go to school. They'll see it when you go to youth camp. You guys were in a gusher service last night. I say, "Oh Lord, send the oil of the Holy Ghost." I say, "Oh Lord, send the oil." Amen. Cover us up with the oil of the Holy Ghost. Stand all over the house with me if you would. Hallelujah. Can we lift our hands right now and say, "God, give us a gusher of the Holy Ghost. Let us hit oil tonight. Let us hit oil tonight." Hallelujah. I want every young person, 25 and under, let's just cut it off right there. 25 and under, if you'd like to get the oil of the Holy Ghost all over your life, I want you to run to the altar right now. Come on, young people. Line across the front. Line up across the front. Boys and girls, come on. Yeah. Hallelujah. The creditor wants these kids. The creditor wants these young people right here. Just stretch it out all the way across the front, guys. Hey, man, stretch it all the way out. Girls, come right on over here. Girls. Yeah, that's it. Come right on over here. It's all right. Come on. Hallelujah. Get up right across the front. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That right there is a generation that we don't want to lose. We need to strike oil tonight. Young people, start drilling a well. Start drilling a well right now. Hey, mom and dad. Hey, mom, dad, grandpa, grandma. Hallelujah. Let's gather in behind them and let's help them dig for oil tonight. I believe there's an oil well under this building. Now, if we can just